Get your own Dharma t-shirts from the official Lost store by ABC. Juliet fans can get a Dharma Motor Pool tee. Saeed fans can support the Build Our World campaign.
Or just show off your love for the great Geronimo Jackson Band. Just click the banner at the top of our website at hawaiiup.com/lost.
The Transmission, Episode 57, March 29th, 2009.
How you doing?
A 12-year-old Ben Linus brought me a chicken salad sandwich. How do you think I'm doing?
Aloha from the Island Lost fans. You are tuned into The Transmission. This is a podcast devoted to the show Lost on ABC. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan. And we're here to discuss the latest episode of Lost, He's Our You. And how are we going to break that down?
We'll recap the episode in 8 minutes or less.
Then we'll share our thoughts in greater detail.
We hear from you all, everybody, in our feedback segment.
And then we move into the Forward Cabin, which this week contains the last filming updates for Season 5. You ready?
Let's get lost.
Episode 10 of Season 5, He's Our You, brings us the classic flashback setup, so let's begin with the flashback.
In Tikrit, Iraq, a father is yelling at his young son, telling him to kill a chicken. He can't do it, but his younger brother does it instead. The older boy refuses to take credit. The father says, "Well, at least one of you will be a man. Well done, Saeed."
Later in Moscow, a man runs into a building and frantically opens a safe. Saeed comes in after him, and the man offers him money, but Saeed shoots him anyway. He goes outside and meets Ben, and Saeed asks him what's next, but Ben says, "You're done."
Ben says Saeed has taken care of everyone who posed a threat to his friends. Saeed says he killed for Ben, but Ben says Saeed was the one asking for the names. Saeed asks what he should do now, and Ben says, "Go live your life. You're free."
Next, we see Saeed with his humanitarian group, and Ben arrives and says Locke is dead. He was probably murdered and probably in retribution for Saeed's killings. He says that Saeed is in danger, and so is Hurley. Saeed asks if Ben came all the way to him just to get him to kill again.
Ben says Saeed didn't choose to murder and torture. It's just in his nature. It's what he does, Saeed says. "I'm not what you think I am. I don't like killing." Ben says he must have been mistaken about him and leaves.
Then we see the scene at the dock again with Ben, Kate, Sun, and Jack, and Saeed threatens Ben and walks away. He ends up at a bar drinking McCutcheon, and Ilana shows up.
They end up in a hotel room. She tells him to take off her boots, then kicks him in the face. She gets him at gunpoint and says she's a bounty hunter hired by the family of Avellino, the man that he shot on the golf course. She says she's taking him to Guam to pay for what he's done.
At the airport, though, Saeed sees Hurley, then Jack, then Kate all getting on the same plane, and he asks if they can take the next plane. He says he's superstitious, and she says she'll just buy him a rabbit's foot.
On the plane, he sees Ben bored. Saeed asks Ilana if she's working for Ben Linus. He says he's a monster. She asks why would she work for someone like that, and he says that he did.
Then that flashes us to the on the island, but not the present, where young Ben is bringing chicken salad sandwich to Saeed and also brings a book. Ben asks Saeed if Richard sent him. He says he met Richard 4 years ago and wanted to join and was told to be patient. Young Ben tells if Saeed is patient, he can help him too.
Horace shows up with Radzinski and cuts off Saeed's handcuffs. Horace tries to get Saeed to talk, saying the handcuffs suggest that he was either having a problem with his people or that he's a spy. Saeed says nothing. Horace says if Saeed still doesn't talk, he'll have to take it to the next level.
Sawyer finds Juliet watching Kate and Jack out the window, and she says, "It's all over, isn't it, us playing house?" Sawyer says he's got it under control. Horace shows up and says their prisoner is not talking. He says they should take him to Oldham. Sarah calls Oldham a psychopath and says he'll talk to Saeed alone.
Sawyer goes to Saeed. He headbutts Saeed to fake a confession, but Saeed says he won't do it. Sawyer says he can't let Saeed go, so either he cooperates and joins the party in Dharmaville or he's on his own. Saeed says, "Then I guess I'm on my own."
Hurley brings food to Kate and Jack, and he asks them what's up with Saeed, but Jack says he doesn't know anything, so Kate says she'll talk to Juliet. Hurley says Juliet and Sawyer are together, you know, like Kate and Sawyer were, and Kate asks Jack if he knew, and And Jack says yes.
Roger Linus shows up at the jail to clean up the holding area, and he taunts Saeed for getting caught. Ben shows up, and his dad asks what he's doing there. Ben says, well, I was just bringing you a sandwich, Dad. But Roger doesn't believe him. He smacks Ben around and tells him to go home.
Sawyer arrives and tells Saeed that it's his last chance, but Saeed remains silent, so Sawyer stuns him. They take him to Oldham, living alone in a tent, and Saeed asks, who is that man? And Sawyer says, he's our you. Oldham tells them to put Saeed in restraints.
Oldham says it's for his protection because of the side effects. He says struggling is pointless and that Saeed will tell the truth. Soon enough, Saeed is in a daze. Oldham asks Saeed his name and why he was in the handcuffs. He says, my name is Saeed and I was a bad man.
He also says he's not a hostile and that he came on a plane and that's how he returned to the island. He says, hey, ask Sawyer. Oldham asks who's Sawyer, but Rodzinski says, who cares? Oldham asks Saeed what he knows about the Dharma stations.
Saeed describes the flame, the pearl, and the swan. Rodzinski flips out since Saeed knows about the swan. Saeed says, you're all gonna die, you know. They ask him how he knows, and Saeed says he's from the future. Ooh. Oldham says he probably should have used less drugs. Saeed starts laughing maniacally and says, you used exactly enough.
The Dharma Initiative hold a meeting to decide what to do with Saeed, and Rodzinski says to kill him. Saeed says, hey, we're civilized. We're not like the hostiles, but Horace says Saeed had every opportunity to defend himself. Rodzinski says he's a spy. Horace says he needs more time to consider.
But Rodzinski says Horace needs to call a vote or he's going to call Ann Arbor and let them decide. Amy says that Rodzinski is right. They have to think about Ethan and all of the children. Horace puts it to a vote, and everyone, including eventually Sawyer, raises his hand.
Sawyer goes to Saeed and tries to help him escape, saying that they voted to kill him. But now Saeed says he wants to stay. He says that when he arrived back on the island, he thought he had no purpose being there, but now he knows exactly why he's there.
Sawyer goes to see Kate and asks why they all came back. Kate says that she doesn't know why everyone else came back, but she knows why she did. But before she can explain, a flaming Dharma van crashes into a house.
Kate goes to rescue the people in the house, and Sawyer rallies the firefighting crew. He even tells Jack to help as well. He calls all security out, leaving Saeed alone. Sure enough, young Ben shows up in a hood. Saeed sees that his glasses are broken, and Saeed says, well, I understand my dad was a hard man too.
Ben says if he lets Saeed out, he has to take him with him to his people. Saeed says, that's why I'm here. Saeed leads Ben into the jungle, but a Dharma van drives by and stops, and Jin gets out. Jin asks how Saeed escaped, and Saeed says Sawyer let him out.
So Jin tries to call into Sawyer, and Saeed takes him down and knocks him out. Ben wants to run, but Saeed pauses and tells Ben that you were right about me. I am a killer. And shoots him.
And thud.
And thud. And how. And that's He's Our You in under 8 minutes. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll share our thoughts in greater detail. This episode was called He's Our You, a Saeed-centric episode, kind of a classic season one setup there.
Throwback.
And interestingly enough, we had a little thing called a Journey concert on Wednesday night.
That was a great show.
It was, but we're here to talk about Lost. And what was interesting is that I had a busy week as well, so we watched it like 3 days apart. Mm-hmm. We didn't watch it together.
The first time we haven't sat down and watched an entire episode
together.
Yeah,
we didn't get
ever
to blog it. So once again, another opportunity for, I think, an interesting conversation. What did you think about He's Our You?
Well, I really liked the ending.
Well, yeah, I think I definitely like that. You can't beat the ending of this episode. The pre-thud moment, the slack-jawed moment, probably up there in the top 10 for the series.
Well, probably overall 7 out of 10.
Okay, overall. So what else did you like about He's Early? We'll talk about the ending in a bit, but what else really struck
you? Well, the best thing was all the things that referenced other characters that we've already met and other things that we've already seen, like the whole thing with Saeed's handcuffs was very reminiscent of the others finding Jin and finding the handcuff on him and thinking that he must be an other. And then the chicken scene when Saeed kills the chicken, it's very reminiscent of the Mr. Echo episode.
Right, I definitely noticed
that. He shoots the man. I just liked all the references to all the other things that we've already seen.
Okay, well, so, and again, it was very reminiscent of season one. It was very flashback, regular setup oriented. So I really got that feeling. It was definitely a character-based episode. I got to say, though, I thought it was a okay episode. I really thought it was just kind of an okay episode that redeemed itself in the last 2 seconds or 10 seconds, you know?
What bugged you about it?
I don't know. It just felt a little strange. I mean, for one thing, a lot of it was stuff that we'd already known. There was a lot of repeat scenes from the scene on the dock to knowing where Saeed is at different parts in his life. It was good to see who Ilana was. I definitely like that. I mean, basically, this episode explained how he ended up on the plane, and I think that promises more for the rest of the Oceanic Six in future episodes. But just, you know, little things kind of bugged me. I mean, basically, what soured this episode, I think the weakest part of this episode, even though it was a character-based episode, is that some of the things the characters did seemed just a little off. Just not, you know, like the writers weren't as familiar with them as we are.
Well, I kind of thought that too. Like the scene in the cafeteria where Hurley tells Kate that Sawyer and Juliet are living together.
That's right.
I thought he was not himself. I thought he was very, very insensitive.
I mean, he stuck his foot in his mouth before.
Yeah.
But that was, I don't know, something about that seemed just way beyond his, you know, he wouldn't really be that out of touch with reality. And, you know, Saeed, he's brought into the jungle by, what, Horace and who's the other guy?
Phil.
And they can keep him and push him up against a tree and handcuff him to the tree. He has his hands in front of him, for one thing. And he's Saeed. He was tied to a tree and killed someone with his legs.
That's
and
right.
We're supposed to believe that they can push him against a tree and tie him up. I mean, that just seemed kind of weird. I thought it was kind of odd. I guess they've never said anything about Kate's history, but that whole scene with them at the motor pool where Juliet is giving her a tour of what her job is going to be, I guess. And she goes like, oh, you don't know anything about cars, do you? And Kate's like, no, not at all.
Yeah, see, I always figured Kate to be a gearhead too,
or a tomboy, or just really more in touch with cars than that scene seemed to imply. And I guess it was just something that somebody felt would be a good sort of construct or a conceit for a scene to break the ice, but again, it just seemed a little bit out of character for that as well. And so, you know, just the little notes felt strange. Just the pacing and the feeling seemed strange, but you know, really, I guess it's all about the ending. So the ending, Ben's
amazing. Has anybody ever shot a little kid on primetime TV before?
I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, oh my God, ABC, primetime, 12, 13-year-old boy gunned down. And even interestingly enough, I mean, if you want to talk about ethical implications, is that, yes, we as an audience know that that little boy grows up to be an awful monster.
Uh-huh.
And that's the scenario in which that we're seeing Saeed taking action. So before we even get to the whole, is that a paradox question, what we saw was that Ben was an abused child and neglected and had a really tough life.
Yeah.
And so at that point in his life, he had a tough life and he gets shot.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, just all of the implications of that I just found just amazing. And it was definitely one of those times when the thud falls and I didn't know what to make of it. Especially because if you look at the overall arc of this episode, it was another fake out by the writers, because it seemed they were doing two things at the exact same time. Saeed is attempting to redeem himself and get out of the business of killing. Can he break that history? That's one part.
Uh-huh.
The other part, Ben. You know, we see how hard his life is, how he's trying to help, how he wants to get away from that place, and how he sees Saeed and he wants to help Saeed. So it seemed like they're basically setting up that Saeed was going to develop sympathy for young Ben, and whatever was going to happen at the end, it could not have possibly been he's going to do something. He's actually going to let him go or something else. So, I mean, it was definitely a setup, and it was a great way to mess with our minds.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm wondering if he's not keeping in the back of his mind while he's shooting Ben all the rules that Daniel has already laid out.
Well, see, I don't think he has had the exposure that the other rest of our characters have had to the rules and the issues of time travel, because they just showed up in 1977 and they've had to learn on the run. They haven't had all of the explanations that a lot of the others have. I mean, I guess Kate and Jack and the people who met with Mrs. Hawking might have a good understanding of the rules, but Saeed was off on his own. I mean, basically, he missed those college lectures.
Oh, that's right. He ran away because he was angry.
Right, right.
But speaking of Saeed and history repeating itself, his libido is getting him into trouble again.
Right. Yes, exactly. We've seen that before.
Yeah. I mean, he meets somebody in a cafe in Germany, and before he knows it, she shoots him.
I think basically, you know, if Saeed ever gets lucky or close to getting lucky, that's basically when he should watch out. That's when he's going to get in trouble.
That's right.
But I mean, the overall point is Saeed could not escape his inner nature, I guess. He tried to find redemption, but it turns out from the day he choked a chicken, he's going to be a killer. And so he does the unthinkable. He pulls a gun on a 13-year-old and blasts a hole in his chest. So the big giant question, the big oh my God, is Ben dead?
I really don't know how to answer that. I have no idea. I mean, he's unconscious in the infirmary, am I correct?
Right, in 2007.
So he has to be alive, right? If he's alive in one place, he's got to be alive in I don't know.
Right. Well, the only thing that we have to offer is that being shot on the show does not mean you're dead. In fact, being dead on the show does not mean that you're dead. And I think that this is ultimately going to be that test. You know, whatever happened, happened, or can you change the future? And there's only one way to find out if that's true, and that's, I guess, to wait until next week. But we have a lot of conversation in you all, everybody, from our great listeners about that question, so I think we'll leave it for that. Anything else in this episode really strike you?
Well, I'm wondering if Ilana works for Ben.
I think she does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, why do you think she works for Ben?
Well, because the only two people on the golf course were Saeed and Avelino, and there were no witnesses, and Ben sent him to kill Avelino, so therefore he must.
That's a reasonable theory. I just basically think that once he's on the plane and Saeed asks that question of Ilana, and even the way she answers the question and the setup we're seeing, I think basically we're learning that no matter what the story is, like, we still don't know how Kate ended up on the plane, we still don't know how Hurley ended up on the plane. It just seems that Ben, in all of his machinations and, you know, his contacts all around, he's the one who made those things, whatever those things are, happen. So it just seemed that that was the first of many ways for him to be involved in getting him on the plane.
And it looks to me like he killed Locke solely as a way to manipulate people to getting back on the plane.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, although I think the theory is that he killed Locke because he felt that Locke was, you know, usurping him and his importance on the island, I think that's pretty reasonable as well.
Yeah.
But it's true that, you know, Ben does not see someone's death as anything really big, as it's just another tool to get people to do what he wants to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's completely evil. I know I've said this before, we've talked about it, but I don't see them redeeming him meaningful way.
This pushes him even further down that well, you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, things that stood out for me, the very opening of the episode, I like that you mentioned the 23rd Psalm. I think that, you know, it's just another daddy issue here on the show. You know, Saeed was kind of pushed into this or kind of taunted into it by his own dad. So, mm-hmm. You know, father issues continue to be a really big problem or a really big theme on the show.
Well, I think out of all the evil dads ever on the show, Roger Linus pretty much takes the cake.
Really?
Yeah.
You just think he's the worst dad that we've seen?
He's the most abusive, outright abusive, and mean to his child.
Well, I don't know. Locke's dad took his kidney and pushed him out a window.
Yeah, that's true.
And Christian Shepherd was abusive toward Jack. And I don't know. I don't think Roger is the worst dad that we've seen on the show. But I do think that his character appearing in this episode, however briefly, gave us a lot of good color, a lot of good background for both him and Ben. I think that was definitely key.
So what do you think Kate was going to say was her reason for coming back in the first place?
I think they were setting us up for her to say it was him, but I'd like to hope at least that it wasn't him.
No, it was him.
You think she came back to the island for Sawyer?
Yeah, I think she did. I think that she came to tell him that she found Clementine.
Oh,
at the
okay.
very least.
Right. I think that that's going to be definitely something that's going to come up, that whatever favor it was that Sawyer asked Kate to do, that's going to be, that has to be, in fact, I can't believe that's a conversation that hasn't happened yet. But I don't know. When they did that sort of conversation in the motor pool where, you know, Juliet and Kate sort of had that conversation, like, oh, I'm so relieved. I didn't know how I was going to tell you without it sounding like I was asking you to stay away. It seemed like they were kind of diffusing, you know, it seemed like they were kind of backing away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Kate sort of wound up with that, well, I don't know why they all came back here, but I know why I came here. I thought the answer was going to be something like, because there's nothing left for me. There's nothing left for me in the real world because of, I just remembered again how destitute and how despondent she seemed when she finally came to Jack and
That's
would not
right.
say what happened to Aaron, would not say, you know, what had happened to her. And I think that whatever it is completely broke her spirit, and that she decided to go with Jack, if not because she felt safe with Jack, but because, again, she felt there was nothing else for her, so why the heck not?
Yeah, and I think Aaron gave her a purpose a little bit.
Right, I think that was what they were really trying to show us, maybe a little ham-handedly, but I think they were basically saying that that was what Kate wanted to do, and if they took that away from her, you know, this is sort of the direction that she might go.
So the conversation, Ben asks about Richard, and he says that he talked to him 4 years ago,
which means
he's on the island in 1973.
Right, which also means that the entire time that our Sawyer, Juliet, and Miles and them have been there, he's been there. So yeah. I think, you know, that was kind of odd, and, you know, they really just kind of brushed away how that happened in that conversation with Saeed. I had no choice. You try living in the 70s, you know, and I guess that's it. We're just going to, you know, he says, a charming kid, huh? Or, you know, and that's it. Yeah. There's nothing more to it. But I did think that that was an interesting reveal.
So the best line ever spoken in Lost history was in this episode.
Wow, that's a tall order. I thought there were some good lines. What was it?
A 12-year-old Benjamin Linus just brought me a chicken sandwich. How do you think I feel?
Yeah, that was definitely up there. I definitely agree. My favorite line was Sawyer's line to Jack right after the flaming bus shows up, and he says to Jack, 3 years, no flaming buses. You guys are here one day. You know, I just thought that was pretty
cool.
That
was a good line.
This episode had a book, you know, our Lost producers love books, and this one I thought was a little curious, especially again given the overall question about what happens to Ben. And the title of the book was
Separate Reality by Carlos Castaneda.
So does that mean they're talking about parallel universes or different
No, I looked it up. Actually, it's a nonfiction book. It's about the author's time under the tutelage of kind of a spiritual leader, and the spiritual leader gives him mind-altering drugs to heighten his consciousness. And
like Oldham did.
Right.
So, okay, so it's not about, okay, well, I was really hoping that they weren't trying to either tease with us or tweak us or give us the first clue that they're going to start saying, ooh, this is sort of like, all those other movies where you start seeing parallel universes and two things can happen in different versions of the future. So it's about seeing or about perceptions of reality. And we've seen that. We've seen Locke's brain paste. We've seen other people have visions.
I forgot about the brain paste.
So I think all of that fits in. And I think that actually that still could be a good clue about things that are coming up on the show. And moving from books, we have also had another needle drop. And it was a record player, but you got to admit, it was a different record player than from your conventional household record player. Yeah. So I thought that was great. And the song was
I can't Give You Anything But Love, Baby by Billie Holiday. And Billie Holiday is yet another singer, female singer, who died very young and tragically.
All right. So now that we've talked about it, I think I like this episode better. I think you've helped me see some of its value there. I still think that it was a little awkward at points, but really, again, the ending makes it all good and makes for a lot of good conversations. There were a couple of locations that were noteworthy. When Saeed goes to kill the guy at the safe, the interior of that building is on Merchant Street. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you take a good look at the doorway as he goes out, it's the same doorway because it's the same building as the school where Walt is and where Locke goes to visit Walt there on the corner. So that I thought was kind of cool. And then when he walks out of the building, though, he walks out to, as you saw,
the Bishop Museum. Right? We go there every week.
Right. And it's Hawaiian Hall where they made that exterior and they had all that fake snow. And the most interesting thing about that story, and I haven't seen this anywhere else, perhaps because they wanted to keep it quiet, but when they made that scene, they shot that, you know, that foam, that white fake snow on cars. They shot it on the side of the building, and apparently it was supposed to be water soluble, and after they were done filming the scene, they were just going to wash it off and everyone's going to be happy. Well, guess what?
What?
It wasn't water soluble.
Good
friend of mine's car, if you see in that scene, as Saeed walks down the street toward Ben, there's a car parked sideways behind him. That's our good friend Marina Miller's car.
Hi, Marina.
They covered it with the snow, and they offered her a new paint job because of that. And that building, Hawaiian Hall, is a historic building, and the rock is rare coral rock that was used to build that building in ancient times. So, yeah, you know, kind of trying to sandblast it wasn't going to work. So it was a kind of an expensive operation for them.
I had no idea that happened.
So you want to talk about, you know, how much money they pour into a few seconds on screen. That's probably the downside, or, you know, probably a bad example of how that goes. So that's it, I guess, for us. I think that's our 2 cents. So next we're going to turn it over to
you all, everybody.
Hey, Jen and Ryan, it's Mario calling from Houston, Texas. And I got to tell you, when I got hooked on Lost, I was fortunate in the sense that I missed the initial season one broadcast and got to watch it in a glorious DVD marathon. of one episode after another. And the one thing that kept me glued was that thud. The ensuing conversations between my wife and I, our takes, our theories, and our just overall discussion of what we just saw and the expectancy of what was going to happen next. And last night's episode, there was an eerie calm and silence in my living room as we just stared at each other, mouth agape, totally speechless, not able to comprehend what had just happened. And all the podcasting and all the theories that I've read, I don't think anyone seriously considered Saeed actually killing a young Ben. At this point, I don't know where we go from here, but wow, what an episode. I am really looking forward to hearing you guys take once you post your podcast. Wow. Mahalo. Talk to you soon. Bye.
We begin there with our good friend Mario, the first of many, many incredulous calls about the ending of this week's episode. He was pretty much speechless, but most of you weren't speechless. So we have calls from Knives, Peter, and Melissa.
Hi, Ryan and Jen. This is Knives Monroe, longtime listener, first time caller. I guess I'm making this an official catchphrase now, and I just want to say, holy freaking crap. First of all, as many people that are on the Transmission blog know, Saeed is my favorite character. He's been my favorite character since day one. What an episode. Straight out of the season one format book, and I love the pace. I love where this season is going. And there's only one question that matters, and that is, little young baby Ben, 12-year-old Ben, is he still alive? And this was the ultimate, if you could go back in time and kill Hitler question, and we'll see if Daniel's right after all. Or God help us all. Thanks, guys.
Hey, folks. This is Peter in Rockland, a first-time caller. So, great episode. If Ben gets killed as a child, it would drastically tamper with the whole unchangeable time loop theory and create a paradox that challenges us as to how Ben could exist as an older person if he gets killed as a child. So here's my theoretical options. They're all premised on the obvious alternative that Ben was not killed. One option is that the island won't let him die, which we have several precedents for. A good example would be when Ben shot John Locke. Another option is that he's badly hurt. He requires the attention of a doctor, and the person who will end up saving him could be Juliet. Because of this, Ben has a special place in his heart for Juliet going forward. We know a reference was previously made that older Ben likes Juliet because she looked like someone from his past. Maybe she didn't just look like her. Maybe it was her. We'd have to assume that older Ben knew this all along when he contrived to bring Juliet to the island and keep her there. You'd have to know that she had to be there in order to eventually go back to the 1970s to save him. So it would make it all part of his usual planning. Those are my theories. Look forward to seeing how it all turns out. Bye.
Hey, guys. This is Melissa calling from Minnesota. I'm a first-time caller. I've been thinking a lot about this week's big FUD moment, which was, of course, Saeed shooting Ben, which I loved. I suppose it's possible that that's what's going to happen, is Jack will save Ben or the island just won't let Ben die. But, you know, we've seen before how time manages to correct itself. You know, Desmond saved Charlie, but Charlie ended up dying anyway. So what if Saeed kills Ben and the universe just gives us a new Ben? You know, somebody who does all the things that Ben did. You know, the details of his life would probably be different, but, you know, the big events, manipulating the Losties and doing the purge and everything, would still have to happen to keep the universe on course. Just a thought. Thanks. Bye. Love the show.
Thanks for those first-time calls. We love them. You know, Knives is a longtime commenter on the blog.
Yes, he's very prolific.
Good to hear his voice. And he sets it up that this is the can you kill Hitler question on Lost. And what did you think about what Peter said? Well, you know, I don't think Ben is dead. I think he wasn't allowed to die, like Locke wasn't allowed to die, and specifically because this explains the whole Juliet thing.
Yeah, of course. I hadn't even considered that Ben's crush on her goes that far back.
Right. You know, it explains Harper's comment in The Rain in that mysterious episode there in season 3. So I definitely like that a lot. But Melissa saying, hey, maybe Ben is dead, but if there's a course correction to be had, it's that we could get someone else who steps in to cause all of the same bad things that Ben caused. What do you think about that possibility?
Yeah, that's true. True. That's true. I mean, if it's going to happen, it doesn't matter who does it, right?
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think basically the theory that Ben was always killed in the past and that this has whatever happened is one of the more persistent theories that our listeners have. Now we'll hear from Pam, Anthony, and Tamarine.
Hi, Ryan and Jen. This is Pam from New York. And first, I want to say you have the best podcast ever. And I look forward to listening to it every week. Besides my cousin, Dennis, who seems to always be on point with his lost theories while he's drunk, mind you, you guys get my utmost respect for helping me look good around my friends when I talk about lost. Why couldn't you have a podcast when Twin Peaks was on? Anyway, wow, as my husband would like to say. I can't believe Saeed shot Ben. Now I know what it feels like if Gregory Peck had killed Damien. I was actually in my home screaming, and now it makes me wonder if this could be considered the incident. Now, no Ben could possibly mean no purge, no moving of the island, no runway. It's possible that everything he set in motion could have been unraveled, and I'm interested in how the powers that be are going to write this all out. We are now in for one hell of a ride. Okay, that's it for now. Bye.
Hey, guys, this is Anthony from Philly. I'm calling again. Wow, Ben getting shot by a Saeed. That's a wow. But anyway, this brings up the whole idea of, is it the past happening in the future so that anything can happen and anything can change, whatever happens? Or is it just that we're seeing the past as it has already happened? I think we're seeing the past, and that Saeed always shot Ben, and Ben has been using that to really pretty much know how to control Saeed. I mean, when you get shot, you know everything that happens around that moment. And so I believe that Ben would always remember that Saeed said that he's a killer right before he shot him. So now Ben knows that Saeed's a killer and he can use him for that. Anyway, that's my thoughts. Talk to you guys later.
Hey, guys. This is Kemarine from New York. And, I just watched the episode and I have to leave a message and just say, oh, my God. Benjamin Linus got shot, little Ben. It's funny because you could see that Saeed was sick, like thinking that his new mission was to kill Ben. And he always had this, mission where he wanted to kill Ben. But I never thought he would actually go through with it. And, I was just shocked. But the thing is that when he shot him like in the chest. So I think that Ben will come back to life. Probably they'll find him because they'll find Jin, then they'll find Ben, and then maybe they can patch him up. And then, of course, Ben is going to remember Saeed later on. And maybe that's why he tortures Saeed the way he does, like makes him kill all these people, kills his girlfriend. And, that's also why they showed that, I'm not a killer, Ben. And Ben, of course, thinks he is because he just, he got shot by him for no good reason. That is pretty much what the big thing to me was of this episode.
Thanks for those calls, Pam. Trust me, you wouldn't have wanted to hear 18-year-old me ramble about Twin Peaks.
Well, but you did love that show.
I did love that show.
And, it was a show with a deep mythology that went on, though, maybe a little too long. They tread water for a while, and then they kind of made stuff up, and it disappointed folks in the end.
Yeah, I guess so.
So we're still crossing our fingers about Lost. What do you think when she says that maybe this shooting of Ben, if not the death of Ben, is the incident that shakes all of Dharmaville up?
Well, I thought that Marvin Kendall mentioned in the videos that the incident was directly tied to the Swan.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it was really more related to magnetic research or, it's basically the same thing that Marvin Kendall warned about at the very beginning of this series, that if you drill through that wall, we're all basically God help us all. So I think that was the incident, but a decent thought. Anthony and Tamarine both saying that, yep, I think that Saeed always shot Ben. Anthony saying that, Ben has a very specific memory of Saeed throughout his whole life. Do you think that's the case? I mean, I had to go back to watch the episode where Saeed and Ben first meet and they start that whole torture thing in the Swan. It's tough to read that Ben recognizes Saeed in that instance.
Well, I went back and watched it too, like I mentioned last week, and I personally think that he does. I mean, I think a reasonable argument could be made either way, but I think that he does recognize Saeed, at least on some level.
I suppose so, but I it does make you a little skeptical if they had all of this planned from the beginning and, or they just had to look for the most plausible one because we were going back and seeing if Jin and Danielle had any contact and if they ever remembered each other. So these kind of questions, I think, definitely can cause some people to be a little skeptical.
We now have three calls from Jay, Trip, and Jeremy.
Hey, Ryan and Jen, this is Jay from D.C. Wow, last night's episode just really blew my mind. I was waiting in time right as Syed's about to shoot Ben. I was waiting for something to intervene, for, you know, Ben's father to come out or Jacob to descend down and strike Syed dead. I don't know what was going on because I thought there was no way that Ben would die. But we didn't actually see Ben die. We saw him get shot. And most likely there's two or three different things that can happen. One, that Ben actually does die, and then all of our assumptions about how time travel works is wrong. Either two, Ben doesn't die. He recovers, but the act of him being shot changes something that happens in the future. And then number three is that him being shot completely embitters him and makes him into such an evil bastard that he does all the mean and angry things to the Losties in the future. And so it almost becomes like Hurley going back and saying the numbers that started his downward spiral, that Saeed going back and shooting Ben starts the killing process, which starts his downward spiral. So something to think about. I'm really excited to see what happens next. Have a great one.
Hey, Jen and Ryan, it's Tripp. I just finished watching He's Our You, which is kind of hard to say. But I've got an idea. That was the episode was a Saeed-centric episode, and it had a real strong parallel, I think, to Mr. Echo. You remember Mr. Echo? He killed so that his brother wouldn't have to, and so it made his life, it kind of turned him into a killer. And then on the island, you know, once he redeemed himself, then Smokey killed him. And I think that's what we might see with Saeed. You know, he's back on the island now, and somehow he's going to redeem himself and stop murdering and being a hitman, and that's when Smokey is going to take him. And it's really going to upset all the fans when Smokey, you know, kills Saeed, because Saeed's been one of the truest characters we've had, but I think it's probably going to happen. And it may happen next season, I don't know. That's what I think is going to happen. It's going to be, you know, Saeed, he's going to be like Mr. Echo. He's got a real strong parallel to Mr. Echo's history. Love your podcast, guys. Bye.
Jeremy and Boulder here. I mean, we all thought Saeed would try, but I guess the question is Ben really dead? Saeed is certainly an assassin, so a miss is unlikely, but Ben might just be dying and then is brought back. And if Ms. Hawking is right, then the universe course corrects. I mean, if Ben is not supposed to die, he won't. Sort of like the whole Michael thing or the showing about the bus with Desmond and blah, blah, blah. The bullet just wouldn't have finished the job. But then, of course, follow me here. Given that the book that was shown, that was handed over to Saeed, it was called like a substitute reality or something to that effect. Maybe they are playing in a different reality, even though I thought they said they weren't going to be doing that. But maybe here they like screw a lot of things up. People die who aren't supposed to, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore something like maybe the incident puts things back where they should be, or maybe this is where things should be. Maybe everything before was all screwed up, and these are the, I don't know, that hurts my head. Great show. Thanks, you two. Mahalo.
Mahalo indeed for those calls. So Jay from D.C. once again setting out our three possibilities, but leaning toward the last one, that this always happened, and reminding us about the whole Hurley and the numbers issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One of our listeners got us to go back and listen to the scene where Russo's on the boat and hears the numbers, and it's Hurley.
Right, so the scenario is that Hurley sets everything into motion that basically controls the rest of his life. And so here, Saeed, by killing Ben and making Ben into what he is to do what Ben does to Saeed, is all Saeed's fault. So I definitely like that kind of circular setup. Tripp, again, like we did, pointing out the parallels to Mr. Echo, but taking it a step further and saying, hey, Mr. Echo finally came to the island, found redemption, and then was slammed to death by the smoke monster.
Right.
So that maybe that's going to be what's happening to Saeed. He's going to get killed eventually.
I don't know. Saeed has been there from the beginning. thing, and he's such a complex character, and we've seen so much of him, I can't really see him going like that.
Well, you know, I should have talked about this more in our analysis, but really this episode seemed kind of confusing to me about what they're trying to tell us about Saeed. So, Saeed is a small child, and we see he's capable of killing. Then we know he ends up in the army and gets taught to torture and becomes a torturer. He ends up on the island, says he doesn't want to be a torturer, but ends up torturing somebody.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, he gets off the island, and he finds his girlfriend, and they live a happy life, but then she gets killed, and he gets enlisted by Ben to become a killer. So he goes around killing for Ben, and then Ben lets him go, and then so Saeed says, I'm done being a killer. But then Ben goes to Saeed and says, let's go kill again, and he does. But then on the dock, he walks away, and then he tells Ilana, I don't want to be a killer anymore. And then he gets on the plane, and then now he's a killer again. So in this one episode, we're basically reminded that Saeed's been just back and forth. I guess what the point was with that he's always going to be a killer, but if that's the case, then where is the redemption for him? And if the redemption comes for Saeed, I'm not sure how believable it's going to be unless they handle it a little better than they did in this episode. And finally, Jeremy in Boulder, got, like we did, keying on the book, saying that maybe there's a separate reality going on here.
Well, the title alone evokes that kind of image, right? I mean, I think they're trying to maybe plant the idea in our head a little bit.
Right. Well, it reminds me, when we talk about them messing with us, I just keep going back to Hurley on the beach with Saeed with the recreated radio in season two or season three, where he goes, maybe, I don't know where it's coming from or when. Just kidding, dude. And then if we only knew back then that they were serious about messing with time. But anyway, I think the end of his call kind of says it all. I think I've got a headache.
Now we have calls from Robin, Mr. Jacob, and Dixon.
Hi, Ryan and Jen. It's Robin from the TVCritic.org. Just a quick thought to feed into your discussions. Saeed ends up lying to Ben and telling him that the reason he's there is to take him back to the hostiles. And that was what Ben told Locke, that he was there to take Locke back to the others. And I wondered if it would end up that Ben's recovery from the gunshot wound would prove he was chosen by the island to become the other's leader, the same way that Locke's recovery gave that away too. Keep up the great work. Bye.
Aloha, Ryan and Jen. This is Mr. Jacob calling once again. I really liked He's Are You. My fiance was a bit underwhelmed, but this is what I was referring to last week about a character-based flashback. It was cool to see Saeed as a child, because it provided no direct relevance to the current time-related events, but it did help us understand the character a bit more and, thus strengthens the justification for his current actions. It answered a little bit of some mysteries about Ilana and how Saeed got on the plane, provided insight, filled in some missing pieces, but, asked us a couple more questions, which is what we like about Lost. I know some people don't like the character-based episodes, but I think that's always been one of Lost's best attributes. The sci-fi stuff is great, and I love sci-fi, but I love it enough to know that the best sci-fi stories are rooted in compelling, well-written, and well-acted characters. And this episode was just really cool, because we all pretty much knew before that Saeed was going to try to kill young Ben. But then during the episode, you see Roger Workman bossing him around and being a jerk, and you start to think that maybe Saeed's going to show him mercy, but then at the end, boom, Saeed reverts to his old ways. It takes a special kind of show to grip you like that, and Lost most definitely succeeds. You guys are the best. Take care.
Hey, Ryan and Jen. This is Dixon from Nashville. Calling in to say they did it. They shot Ben as a kid, and I think this is one of the show's finest moments and should, I think, satisfy all the people that have been grousing about the time travel storyline across this season, because they set up the fact early on that you can't go back and kill Hitler. There are rules, et cetera, et cetera. And so when Saeed sort of says, I know my purpose on the island, and leaves with Ben, the young Ben, I'm thinking, I know I'm supposed to feel nervous that he's going to kill him, but there's no way he will, because that's not the way it's going to work. And so that any tension I feel is a false tension. And I actually felt kind of disappointed when Saeed said, this is my purpose. And I pretty much put it together. It wasn't hard to do. And then he shoots him, and it's like 5 or 6 layers of darkness. It's a very unredeemed decision by Saeed. He is just at the bottom of himself. It's gross and tragic and expertly acted by Naveen Andrews. And I think really, as dark and sinister as it was, sort of was, I think, a high point of this show, saying, you don't know what we're going to do. We're gonna work our lost mojo on you, and we're going to flip your head around. And they flipped me. I couldn't believe it. All right. Love the podcast. Love what you're doing. Keep it up. Peace.
Thanks for those calls. So what do you think about Robin's setup there?
I like that. It makes sense. I mean, if Ben survives the shooting and he goes back to the others and the others know that he survived, it'll put him like on the fast track to being the leader.
Right. I think that history might repeat itself. Or actually, this is prehistory repeating history. But in any case, a good thought. Mr. Jacob, actually, I like that kind of disagreement there, too. His fiance wasn't as in love with it as he was. But, you know, he makes a strong case for character-based episodes. Are you a character person or a sci-fi theory person?
A little of both. I don't know. I think you can't have one without the other on this show.
Well, I definitely agree that, you know, they were setting us up to think he's going to do exactly the opposite of what he does, and only Lost can mess with us that way. And kind of on that theme, Dixon from Nashville also saying that he felt it was going the other way and he was all ready to be disappointed in the ending, and instead it completely blows his mind. And I like that he's, you know, it's this awful, awful, dark, dark thing, but it's a top moment for the entire series. I mean, what do you think? The death, the shooting of young Ben, where does that fall on the blow your mind scale for this series?
Pretty high. I mean, like I said, you couldn't imagine anybody ever doing that in primetime television.
Right.
But I love it.
Absolutely.
So now we have calls from Jackie Anonymous and John from North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ryan and Jen, it's Jackie from the Jersey Shore calling about the latest episode of Lost Teeth. How are you? I thought the episode was okay. There were several points I wanted to make. First, Saeed. Wow. Geez, what can I say? Instead of helping the kid out and trying to change his ways and change the type of person he is, he goes and shoots the kid. I think that says a lot. I think Ben was right. I think he is at heart a killer. Sawyer, how's that leadership thing going now there, James Ford? I think Sawyer gets a pass for a lot of bad behavior on this show. I think Jack takes a lot of criticism. Not saying Jack can't be annoying, but, not as easy as it looks, is it? Not as easy as just picking up a book, reading it, contemplating your thoughts, and then making a decision. Sometimes decisions have to be made in a timely fashion, too. On that note, I think that both Jack and Sawyer need to take some leadership cues from my good man Horace, who, in my opinion, is probably the best leader out of all of them. He's firm, yet fair. Makes a tough decision. He seems to have the leadership tools needed to lead everyone. But anyway, good to talk to you guys. Thanks again for the great podcast, as always. Talk to you soon. Mahalo.
Hey, I'm longtime listener, first time caller, so and so on. Two things I wanted to touch on. I really liked it tonight. It was very character driven up until the end, and I think one thing that's very important is Ben is quite certainly dead still. He is not. There's no way he can still be alive after that gunshot. It was directly to the heart. No sort of protection, no nothing. He's pretty much gone. What's important to ask is he going to stay dead? And I think the answer is most certainly no. And if we are to believe that everything we've known about how the timeline and Lost is true so far, that what happens happened and so on, that the universe will course correct and bring Ben back to life as did with Locke, as that is the only thing that could happen. And the other thing I'd like to say is I know people have been whining a lot lately about how Rose and Bernard haven't been here on the show for a long time, but anybody seem to care about Claire, really? I mean, she's been out for pretty much the longest of any other character, and nobody has any sort of clue what happened to her. Nobody seems to care either. I haven't heard any interesting theories presented or anything, so I know I'd like to hear some people's 2 cents on that. That's all I have to say. Bye.
Hey, Ryan and Jim, what's up? This is John from North Carolina. I didn't really like the episode, guys. I actually think it's the worst of the season, in my opinion. I didn't really dig the flashbacks. It just seemed kind of like stuff we already knew. Like, we knew he was a killer. They didn't need to show him killing that guy. Like, I mean, the flashbacks just seemed kind of unimportant or whatever. And basically, he was in a cage the whole episode, so, you know, it didn't really go anywhere. The ending was great. I mean, he just shot. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a kid shot on television before. That was epic. Here's my problem with this episode and recent episodes, actually. See, a lot of people are like, where's Rosen Bernard? I don't care about Rosen Bernard. Where's Locke? Where's Desmond? Where's all these characters we love? Yeah, Rosen Bernard are cool, but I want Desmond. I hope you guys know that Desmond's been in like 3 episodes this season, 4 if you count the end of that one where he showed up at the church. But seriously, I mean, if Desmond's supposed to be special, and Desmond's like one of the most integral characters, and so is Locke. And right now it's just Jack, Kate, Juliet, drama. I just hope it gets better. I'm looking forward to the podcast, and talk to y'all later.
Mahalo for those calls. I like what Jackie points out. You know, basically by Saeed shooting Ben, he obviously felt that he could change the future. But yeah, there was an option. There was the other option on the table. If you think you're going to be able to change the future, why wouldn't the agent of change be making a better life for Ben? Instead, he shoots the kid. So
yeah, that's,
I mean,
true.
There's an indictment of him. That's pretty much all you need to know about his character, that he's a killer. So I thought that was a nice way to put it. And saying that, you know, looks like Sawyer's having trouble with leadership. Do you think that's true, that Jack is being vindicated here?
I think he's doing a far better job than Jack ever did on the
yeah
island.
I mean, you know, Sawyer did think on the fly earlier, you know, last week's episode. Sawyer did really well, you know, kind of thinking on his feet. I guess this time he couldn't sit down and read a book. But
I always thought Jack of Moore is a reluctant leader anyway. I think Saeed is taking a more active approach, and he's trying to think ahead, and he's trying to do what's right, whereas Jack didn't really, I think, want to be the leader at first.
Actually, you know, and now you're making me think, because it's right. He basically always says, hey, if you want me to be your leader, then this is what my decision is. But it's not, we kind of ascribe to him certain ambitions to take over last week, and maybe that's not necessarily the case. He might not even want to be a leader, although he could be a leader. But, you know, in Jackie's book, Horace is the boss of all bosses.
He's a very interesting character, Horace.
Anonymous there, another first-time caller, and saying 2 things that are seemingly contradictory. Ben is actually dead because he's got to die. That's, you know, no way you can survive that, but still, he's not going to stay dead. But he moves on to the, you know, who cares about this Rose and Bernard thing? What about Claire? And no one's talking about Claire. Does that bother you at all?
Amen, brother.
Well, let's give him a theory. Where is Claire? What's going on with Claire right now?
She's hanging out with her dad.
He's hanging out with Christian Shepherd.
Yeah.
In 2007.
Yeah.
So she's maybe in the cabin that he came out of when he went to go meet Son and Frank.
Possibly.
Actually, that'd be kind of cool to see them kind of having a run-in with Claire. I'd like that. And John from North Carolina kind of repeating that, who cares about Rose and Bernard, but he wants to know about Desmond and Locke. But I think their stories, I mean, I don't think they're forgotten. I think we're basically focusing on another part of the universe right now.
Well, I think Locke and Desmond's plot lines are going to be kind of what the last few episodes and the finale hinge on.
So you think that it's still season 5, though, that it's going to be a big part of what's going on in the future from where we are right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what? John, you know, our holy freaking crap, our official catchphrase guy, actually was disappointed in this episode. He said that he thought it was the worst episode of the season. Would you put it there?
I don't know about that. I mean, it had its high points and it had its low points.
I kind of like that he goes like, this is the cage matches all over again, because Saeed spent most of his time in the cage. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I think we've got a time for a couple more calls. Who are we going to hear from?
Evan and Chris.
Hey, Ryan and Jen, it's Evan from the mainland again. So I just wanted to get your opinion on something. Before the season even started, I was reading about all the characters that they're going to add, like Caesar and Ilana and all these people. And I was kind of upset because it seemed like there was so much going on with the people that were already in the show that it kind of seemed like they were going to crowd up the cast and the plot. And then they started adding people like Phil and Rosie and the other Dharma people, and Horace is coming back. But it just kind of seems like Jack and Kate and Hurley, their characters are kind of losing relevance to the plot. And I hope that, well, I kind of am liking the characters that they're focusing on right now, but I just wanted to see what you thought about Jack and Kate and them losing importance, and maybe because in the first part of the season, the characters that were shown for the Oceanic Six, like episodes like 3-16, they were the boring part, kind of. So I just wanted to see what you guys thought. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, guys. Great podcast. This is Chris calling from Central PA. Just something to follow up on the last episode. I don't think Jack was placed as a janitor because Sawyer wanted to take a dig at him. Instead, I think strategically he was placed as a janitor, if you will, or a workman, because if LaFleur slash Sawyer and the crew need to do something on a moment's notice, it'll be a lot easier for them to do a breakout, if you will, if he's a janitor, because a janitor would be has probably a lot more flexibility as far as access on the island compared to, say, a physician. Also, I think it would have been harder for Jack to try and hide, if you will, as a physician, because, of course, the questions would come, you know, where did you go to school? Who'd you study under? And obviously, Jack would have not technically studied yet at that point. So that's kind of my insight, if you will, to why Jack is a janitor instead of a physician. And keep up the great work, guys.
Thanks for those calls. So Evan, with kind of a loaded question, with all these new characters seeming so important to the story, are we basically losing importance for Hurley, Jack, and Kate?
No, I think this season, I mean, there are phases that the show goes through where the peripheral character stories become a little bit more important, and I think this is just one of those times.
Yeah, I mean, and again, this doesn't feel like a Nikki and Paolo misstep. It seems that they've been handling kind of the organic integration of these new characters. I think they're interesting and compelling, but I don't think that they're going to fully supersede the people that we've known and loved from the beginning. And Chris saying, well, hey, a janitor's actually a good position to be in, and that's probably what Sawyer was up to.
Well, yeah, I hadn't considered that, and I thought it was, you know, Sawyer just playing tricks on Jack, but that's true. It's more of a strategic move.
Well, you know, I'd like to think that, but part of me really felt that they were just playing it for laughs. I would like to be completely wrong. I would love for Chris to be right, and we're going to find out that only the janitor has the key to level X of Station Y, and that's why Sawyer needed him there. That'd be kind of cool.
It wouldn't be the first time they did something like that.
Well, I think that's all the calls that we have time for. We definitely fit in more than we ever have, just because we like to hear more voices than ours. I definitely want to send a special shout out to Steve from Atlanta, who left a fantastic call and
yeah.
Very encouraging, and we really
Thanks,
appreciate
Steve.
That. So let's move on to our blogs and emails, starting with Steven.
He writes, if the island does save Ben, even if he has been shot directly in the heart, then this would explain why by 2004 he thinks he's special and why he appears to react so poorly to the arrival of John Locke. While all the island was doing in saving Ben was avoiding a paradox, from Ben's point of view, he will feel like a god, an immortal destined for greatness. He will live his life for the next 27 years thinking this way until he gets a tumor, which will not heal by itself, and then he meets John Locke, a paraplegic who can now walk. Ben surviving a shot by Saeed nicely explains why Ben shot Locke. If Locke can survive a bullet, then he is special. If he doesn't survive, then he was never as special as Ben, who had survived a bullet.
I definitely like that. I mean, specifically that Ben is kind of stuck, like Michael couldn't kill himself.
Uh-huh.
The other way that could have gone is for Michael to feel that he was invincible. And I think that that's a neat scenario that Ben basically thought he was, when really he was just escaping avoiding the paradox because of what happened to him as a kid.
Right.
So that's a fascinating perspective. And specifically, you know, that's why he shot Locke. He's like, all right, well, if you're special, then you can survive this as well. Amber in Utah emails and says, I'm just rewatching He's Are You, and I noticed something odd. When all the Dharmas are voting on whether or not to kill Saeed, Sawyer or LaFleur says, I just need more time with him, which is exactly what Saeed said to his people about Nadia when they were keeping her prisoner. And what do you think?
Well, it's like another parallel. Like mm-hmm. I was saying earlier, the things that go back to the earlier
episodes.
Seasons, yeah.
But specifically, it is the exact same line. It was from uh-huh. Solitary. And, you know, that it is that Saeed factors in this episode. I thought that was pretty cool.
Joshua in Sacramento writes, Ben is not dead. Saeed, uncharacteristically, shot him only once. But when young Ben is revived, whether by the island or by standard medicine, he will be changed. Young Ben will no longer view the hostiles the same way, since the only one he's met since Albert just turned on him and tried to kill him. Ben will no longer be the cause of the purge. However, Saeed will join the hostiles. The DI will already view his escape as a breach of the truce and a war will start. With Saeed's knowledge of the DI and its stations, the hostiles will again succeed in destroying Dharma, but events will take another path, a course correction, which will lead to the future that Sun and Lapidus have already seen, the abandoned Dharmaville, but without the hostiles, others living in it.
I definitely like that, because a lot of people have mentioned that the Dharmaville we're seeing now was not the same one that we saw everyone living in, and this is the way it could happen, that Ben doesn't start the purge, but Saeed still starts the war, but because Saeed's helping the others, they still win. I think that this is a great theory.
I hope they do that, frankly.
I don't know. I think, though, it might be a little too complicated to take us down that path, but we shall see. I love it, though, Joshua. Chris in Seattle writes on the blog, "Wow, I love this week's episode as much as I hated last week's. I feel like Lost is back on track and has a direction again. Some of the callers and commenters last week stated their confusion with the castaways' lack of direction better than I did, but this week I feel that's been resolved. I'm looking forward to several more weeks of finding out why Hurley, Kate, Sun, and even Ben returned to the island."
Yeah, I do too. I absolutely, especially Kate. I mean, I know that I, you know, bag on Kate's character a little bit, but I really want to know what she did with Aaron.
All right.
Rich in Cleveland writes, "Love the episode and especially love the flashback so reminiscent of the 23rd Psalm. The old school narrative structure really provides the context that allows true psychological insight into Saeed's shocking decision. He gave in to all those voices telling him he has no choice, can't change, and must obey a nature stamped onto him as indelibly as Jack's tattoos or Juliet's brand. The parallel of Ben's harsh upbringing to his own causes Saeed to believe, despite his obvious empathy, that Ben's progression from innocent yearning child to nefarious mastermind would be inevitable."
I think Rich kind of puts an interesting take on what happened, you know, because again, it seemed like they were setting it up for Saeed to have sympathy for Ben, and the fact that he eventually shoots Ben was just a neat way to mess with us, a neat way to change our to mess with our expectations. But I like that his lesson that he sees in himself, that if I was a killer since I was a kid, no matter how much I try to help Ben here, no matter how much I try to help this young Harry Potter, he's going to turn bad. So since that's inevitable, I'm going to off him. I think that's a perfectly reasonable way to see what happened at the end of this episode, and I like it better than, you know, Saeed took the easy way out by shooting the kid. He just felt that there was no point to trying to help Ben.
Possibly, yeah.
Absolutely. Raul from Wayne, New Jersey says, "This was a great episode because it shows how far ahead these writers plan everything out or were able to, on the fly, connect things to each other, like the tumor in Ben's spine, and Saeed shooting Ben. I think Ben survives because Jin wakes up and runs him back to Jack and Juliet, and this later explains his fascination with Juliet, as we mentioned before, and this bullet wound then causes a growth near Ben's spine." So there's another connection. I thought that it was kind of cool with what Harper said about, you know, you look just like her, but the fact that this injury might basically, you know, again, when Ben is no longer in the favor of the island, he begins to get sick, then gets that tumor, it's because of this gunshot wound.
That's great.
Yeah, and a lot of people had the same thought, Gail on the blog as well, but I like that a lot.
Nate in Ohio writes, "As a Jack fan, I believe you owe Jack an apology this week. Ooh. Last week, you accused him of having a pompous attitude towards Sawyer and plotting his coup. Then in the podcast, you speculated it could only be Jack that would be the survivor to go rogue and endanger the rest of the Losties.
I was wrong.
I think the theme of this year for Jack has been him accepting that he can't control things and wanting to find out his destiny. I took last week's Sawyer-Jack scene as evidence of that. When Sawyer said, 'Now ain't that a relief?' Jack's answer of 'Yeah, it is,' was genuine and consistent with his character arc. I think tonight's episode further proves that."
Well, I am sorry, Jack fans. First of all, I thought that, okay, you're right. It seems that he's playing along. He's just waiting to find out what his destiny is. He comes out when the Dharma bus shows up in flames and he does what Sawyer says, grabs the fire hose and just starts putting out the fire. I mean, he's just doing what he figures needs to do. But that also makes me, again, kind of feel a little bad for his character, because if that's the role that he's going to be in for some period of time, that's not an interesting path for Jack.
No, it isn't. So, I kind of like him better scheming a little bit.
Right. Well, but we'll see what's up with Jack.
I still think he's pompous.
Don't start another war. Okay, one more comment from the blog. Nels writes, "The bigger thing I noticed was a setup for the 2007 Smaller Island storyline. Saeed specifically mentions Benjamin Linus to Ilana on the plane. I'm pretty sure that tidbit will come into play when Ben wakes up from his ore knockout and introduces himself to Ilana as Benjamin Linus. She'll then distrust him from then on."
So she doesn't know who he is at this point?
Well, again, you know, we believe that she's working for Ben. So uh-huh. in that case, then what Nels is saying is, you know, irrelevant. But it is true that right before Saeed gets taken off of the plane and disappears, she has that conversation with Saeed, and Saeed explains how awful a person Ben is. So
yeah.
if they weren't working together, then she will immediately kind of, the hairs on the back of her neck should stand up when Ben wakes up from the infirmary and introduces himself. So
that's true.
I kind of like that. Well, we got, again, over 160, 170 comments on our blog, dozens and dozens of calls. We love all of the feedback that we get. We didn't get so many emails this week,
so don't be afraid to write.
And, you know, the beautiful and wonderful Jen does write back to every email sent. So.
Well, pretty much everyone.
Okay. Well, you're falling behind. Maybe.
I'm falling behind, but I promise I will get back on track.
Well, we love to hear from you however you send us feedback, so please do.
Email us at lost@hawaiiup.com. Leave a comment on our blog at hawaiiup.com/lost, or leave us a voicemail at 808-356-0127.
So you've heard our thoughts and we've heard your thoughts. I guess that means it's time for the Forward Cabin.
This is where we hide production news, rumors, spoilers, sightings, and all kinds of fun stuff. So if you don't want to know what's coming up, you might want to skip ahead.
All right, well, first of all, let's start with what the ABC announcer said was coming up next week on Lost.
Kate says, "We caused this. Jack says he was trying to save them. Juliet rebuts that they didn't need saving. Horace says someone let Saeed out of his cell. It was one of us. Jack is under house arrest. Sawyer tells Kate to keep her mouth shut and stop asking questions."
Well, there you go. And the official ABC synopsis, well, unfortunately, kind of answers a big question from this week. The official synopsis reads, "Kate goes to extreme measures to save Ben's life when Jack refuses to help. Meanwhile, Kate begins to tell the truth about the lie in order to protect Aaron." So, well, there you go. I guess Ben's not dead, for one thing. And it does sound like next week's episode is a Kate-centric episode, probably, again, in the vein that we saw this week with Saeed.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you may or may not know, this week was the last week of production here on the island.
Aww.
For Season 5 of Lost. That means, yes, today was the last day of filming. There was the wrap party that we won't tell anyone about. And basically, they're done for the rest of 2009. We're not going to get any filming reports until really late this year for Season 6. So with that sad bit of news, we definitely are happy to share what we do know. Now, starting off this week, there was a big shoot out at the Byodo Inn Temple over at Valley of the Temples in Kaneohe.
Nice
and
place.
That's where they filmed previously, you know, Son's father's big estate.
Yep.
And so that's why they were there again. And it was a flashback. It was a giant wedding for Son and Jin. So we're going to see them join in holy matrimony. So Mr. Paik's family, kids and grandparents, a lot of extras. And I know about it because a friend of a friend actually got to play a member of Son's family.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you'd pass for a member of the Paik family.
I would be a body. I would do anything.
A dead body on Lost.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll put you in for that. Later that week, they returned to Police Beach at Papailoa. That's the original or main beach camp. And EB from Colorado happened to be on her own Lost tour that day. And she hung out down the beach and watched them do a little bit of filming. Of course, she couldn't get very close. They do protect it as much as they can. But she said she saw most of our Dharma Living Losties there. Saeed, Juliet, and Miles back at the beach camp. But it's what the security guard said that made her day and mine. She said that he said that Rose and Bernard were there.
Yes.
So, for all the people asking about them, whether we're going to hear what happened to them, I'm not sure, but we have not seen the last of them for Season 5 or Lost. So, next shoot, an interesting story here. Now, after Lost airs every week, I go on KITV way early in the morning to do a commentary on every episode, and Diane Meisenzahl, the morning show anchor, told me that he ran into them filming, and actually, he accidentally walked straight through the live set. So, fortunately, Christian Bale wasn't there to chew him out. out. And so he was fine. And he says that he saw Terry O'Quinn there. It was kind of a pedestrian kind of outdoor street scene. And Terry O'Quinn was all beat up. So I don't know what that is or where it falls. Is it sometime before or after the accident that we just saw earlier this season? I'm not sure. He didn't know what was happening either. He was actually just trying to get through. Finally, though, and this one I'm very excited about, there was a most tantalizing shoot at a church in Eva Villages. Now, Kanahina and Roxy were able to collect some intel, for which I'm very grateful. And I did release a partial spoiler a couple of days ago because I couldn't resist because it was that good. According to them, though, it was a double funeral. So there were two caskets, two hearses being filled, caskets put in at the same time. And yes, that means it was in fact the funeral for Sawyer's parents. So that's the murder-suicide that we saw. Somebody reminded me it happened when he was 8 years old, when his father killed his mom and killed himself. And so interestingly, that would put the funeral at around 1977. This funeral is happening in the same year as we're seeing them running around with the Dharma Initiative. Now, that's not all. The key event at this funeral for young Sawyer is who he meets there. And who young Sawyer meets at his dad's funeral is Jacob.
No.
Jacob. We don't even know if he's an actual person or a spirit or an embodiment of the smoke monster. Well, it looks like Jacob is an actual person.
Wow.
A flesh and blood person who happens to turn up at young Sawyer's funeral for his parents. So,
oh my gosh.
That's kind of a big reveal. I don't know what it means. Now, interestingly enough, also this week, Entertainment Weekly revealed that Jacob was a person because they said he's going to be played by an actor named Mark Pellegrino. And you may know him from Dexter.
Dexter. He was Rita's ex-husband on
right.
Dexter.
So that creepy dude is still going to be a creepy dude here on Lost, or maybe not creepy. I'm not sure. I have no idea what this means, what Jacob is doing in the 70s, in 1977, when all of this stuff is also happening on the island, whether it ties into the incident or not. I don't think that that's the big twist that everyone's talking about being a game changer for Lost for season 5, but if this is one of the things they're going to throw at us,
I'm happy.
I'm happy too. But sorry to say, that's pretty much going to be it for season 5 filming reports because they're done as of today. We are going to continue to cover web spoilers and other things coming up here in the Forward Cabin, but as always, while we can do them, it's always been a pleasure for us to share what we can pick up is going on right here on the island. So I guess that's it for the Forward Cabin, and I guess that means that's it for this episode of The Transmission.
But we'll be back next week for the next new episode on April 1st, whatever happened, happened.
That's right. Now, remember, The Transmission is available in both MP3 and enhanced AAC formats. So if you want to jump to or skip over any specific segment of our show, you'll want the enhanced version of our podcast. You can find the link on our blog or in the iTunes Music Store.
So please give us a call after next week's episode, 808-356-0127. Leave a comment on the blog at hawaiiup.com/lost or write us an email at lost@hawaiiup.com.
All right. Well, folks, thanks a lot for listening. Enjoy.
Stay lost. Aloha.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lost Podcasting Network. Get all your favorite Lost podcasts in one feed at lostcasts.blogspot.com.